Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic.
It is my pleasure to welcome back Chuck Tanner to the podcast. Welcome back, Chuck.
Thanks, James. It's good to hear from you.
So, Chuck, you are Director of Market Development at SEPCO, Sealing Equipment Products Company. You know, you've been there for over 25 years. Now, in that role, you help organizations with their sealing challenges, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Excellent. Now, can you give us a brief introduction to yourself and SEPCO and what you guys do?
Yes. SEPCO is a manufacturer of fluid sealing products. We're located here in Alabaster, Alabama. My background is I have about 35 years experience in the fluid sealing industry, and most of that tenure has been here with SEPCO.
All right, excellent. So over 35 years in sealing. Now, what is sealing at a general level? Is it just throwing some seals in a pump? What is it?
In a general level, sealing is providing some mechanical device to control leakage between two joining surfaces. Now, you can have two different kinds of sealing surfaces. You can have a stationary surface that uses, you know, typical gasketing to seal those surfaces, or you can have a dynamic surface that uses some sort of device to seal between two moving objects. Most of the time, motion is rotating movement, but it also can be helical movement. But that's basically all you're trying to do, is to seal some fluid or gas in some process from the atmosphere through some sort of device.
Okay, excellent. Now, there's sealing that takes place in virtually every industry. It doesn't matter what industry out there, there's sealing that's happening. Now, what about pulp and paper makes sealing so difficult, or why does it present so many challenges in that industry?
Well, the predominant product that's sealed in the pulp and paper industries is slurries. And there are multiple types of slurries within a pulp and paper production facility. You have liquor slurries, white, green, black liquors, and you have the actual fiber slurries, the paper stock slurries that you have to seal. The big problem with slurries in fluid sealing is those slurries do not provide a lubricating film between the dynamic surface and the stationary surface, and those slurries are very abrasive and will damage, you know, sleeves and seal faces and that sort of thing.
Right. So it's not just the fact that, you know, there might be have some acid or alkali in it, but it's the fact that there's contamination. It doesn't act as a lubricant as it would with a traditional sealing application with, say, water or something of that nature, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Excellent. Now, when we look at pulp and paper, is it just those slurries that are failing? Are there other types of issues that we see with sealing in pulp and paper?
Predominantly, it's the slurries, because their processes are probably 90% slurries. The only fairly clean products they have are some caustics and acids and some of the condensate services and water services. But the predominant applications in those type of plants are slurry applications.
All right, excellent. Now, how do we overcome these challenges with contamination, with, you know, not being a clean lubricating liquid? How do we overcome these?
Well, the only way you can really do it is provide some clean lubricating film. If you don't provide lubricating film, all sealing products and their lives are drastically reduced if you don't have some kind of – the secret to sealing any kind of – application, if you can keep that lubricating film between the seal face or the packing and the sleeves, if you can keep that surface cool and keep it clean, you'll get good longevity out of the products. But if you violate any of those rules, the service life is drastically reduced.
All right. Excellent. Now, is there a particular type of seal or types that are best suited for this application? How do we overcome that lack of clean, cool lubricant?
James, to be honest with you, there's really no way to overcome that. If you don't provide that source of lubricating films, myth about water usage in these plants, and these, especially pulp and paper. Pulp and paper has always strived to try to do away with flush water, but the products that they pump and the technology available today to seal those products in most cases are so abusive to fluid sealing products, there's just really no way to do it. But the thing about it is, what we're looking for in fluid sealing is we're looking for good maintenance practices, and we're looking for to utilize the products the way they're designed, and we're looking for pressures, not flows of water. So you can actually utilize these products and still use water, but if with good care and good maintenance, the water usage and the consumption goes drastically down.
All right. So we overcome some of these challenges through using water to keep that seal lubricated and clean, correct? And if we manage those things properly, we're not going to use a lot of water.
No, as long as they're managed properly. That's where the problem comes.
All right. So the challenge in a lot of pulp and paper is not that part of it is we're dealing with this slurry, it's contaminated, got abrasives, all these things. But the other part is that we're not performing the right maintenance on the seal, so we're consuming way too much lubricating water, or we're just burning up seals way too fast. One of the two, right?
One of the two. I mean, there's really no happy medium between your two options. Either you use the water or you consume and replace components. And the problem with it is the replacement and the production loss of those pieces of equipment far exceed the cost of the water. So, you know, it's one of those things. Is just give, you just got to have a trade-off between the two, and you've got to reach a balance between the two.
All right. Excellent. Now, so those organizations in pulp and paper that are doing this well, they have a good maintenance program on those seals, so they're not consuming water, and that's what they're doing to really extend the life and improve reliability in those mills?
There's really two things you've got to do. Yes, the most of those plants that do well at it are very active in precision maintenance training. When you have these precision maintenance programs and precision maintenance training, it seems like a lot of these issues with fluid sealing products go away because they understand the concepts of the products and what you're trying to do with the products and what you can and what you cannot do with the products. And it seems like a lot of those issues kind of fade away when they do have really good precision maintenance training programs.
All right. Excellent. So it's not just picking the right seal, but it's having that precision maintenance in place. It's understanding that this little cost of water is going to extend the life long term. Do you have any examples of where you've seen applications where you've made a dramatic difference in the reliability or MTBF of seals in pulp and paper that you can share?
Yes. In accounts that have good practices and have good maintenance with these products, it's not uncommon for, you know, we have some large corporate accounts, and it's not uncommon for those accounts to get 3 years service life out of a set of packing. And as far as mechanical seals in those accounts that are managed well and that have good precision maintenance programs, it's not uncommon to get 4 to 5 years average seal life out of a mechanical seal.
All right. Excellent. So we're getting, you know, 4 to 5 years by doing those right things. What's the typical pulp and paper facility getting out of those seals then? 6 months, a year, somewhere in that range?
I've done a lot of studies on usage of in particular mechanical seals, because mechanical seals become a real costly replacement. Because when you replace a mechanical seal, that's just such a small portion of that pump replacement cost, because they don't just replace a mechanical seal. When they have a seal failure, they replace a whole pump rotating assembly. So it's just not the seal. So you got the whole cost of that total repair. And some of those costs, I've seen numbers from Goulds that some of those stock pump replacement costs are $25,000-$30,000 per replacement. So it's not and I've done studies on fluid sealing products and plants and looked at the average life of different plants that we've, you know, been in negotiations with. It appears the industry average for the pulp and paper industry on mechanical seals is about close to 24 months, which is about half the service life that you get.
All right. So we're getting 24 months. So half of what we would expect to get out of these things, because we're not maintaining them right, or we're not using water to keep them clean and cool, right?
That's correct.
That is significant in terms of how much extra maintenance we're doing. We're essentially doubling the amount of maintenance we got to be doing.
That's correct. And when you have a typical pulp and paper plant has, as far as mechanical sealed applications, they have somewhere around 200 pieces of equipment. So if you expect, you know, your 4 to 5 years worth of service life, you should be replacing more than 50 of those a year. So in essence, what you're doing is you're doubling your replacement, and there's 50 rotating assemblies at, you know, $30,000 a piece that you're replacing unnecessarily because of maintenance and care practices that, basically affects your cost per ton. I mean, it goes right straight to the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. That is significant. And that's just in the slurry applications, right?
That's correct.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, is there other areas where organizations should be paying attention to in pulp and paper aside from slurry?
One of the other real key applications that we look closely at is on paper machine services. They return the condensate back from where they're doing the drying on the paper, they return that back to the powerhouse. Well, that's treated water. In a lot of cases, they've tried to run mechanical seals in those applications, and the issue is the water temperatures. If you get over about 160 degrees on a seal face in hot water services, hot water is a very poor lubricant. If you get over about 160 degrees with the velocity and the heat generated to seal face, those water molecules that are passing across the seal face to lubricate it, those water molecules can get up to a flash point. And what they'll do is they'll expand back to steam. And they, you know, expand back to 600, 700, 800 times their original volume. Well, it actually is a small explosion, and it destroys the seal. You'll have short-term success with mechanical seals in some of those applications, but long-term, the seals won't hold up. In those applications, we try to encourage those customers to convert back to packing. And we have packing products that leak very little in those applications, like 10 to 12 drops a minute, that far surpass the service life of mechanical seals, and the total cost of ownership of those products is a fraction of what a mechanical seal utilizing mechanical seals in those applications.
All right. So it's also making sure we got the right seals in place for the application. It shouldn't just be mechanical seals. Sometimes packings are better. Sometimes mechanical seals are better, but it's understanding the process and picking the right one.
That's correct.
Now, what else can organizations do in pulp and paper to improve reliability with their seals, their pumps, that type of stuff? So we got picking the right one. We got some precision maintenance. We got, you know, using some sealing water if we need to. What else can we do?
Well, one thing I want to bring up, One of the new exciting things that we're doing, and we're having great success with in the pulp and paper industry, is we're have developed air seal technology and utilizing air seal technology in a lot of these applications. And it's in places where you have heavy slurries, places where you that really shine, in places where you have a lot of radial and axial movement, such as pulpers and agitators and refiners. We're actually running some of this type of technology on stock pumps now, and it's air seal technology. And air seal technology utilizes no water, and we're actually sealing those products in these processes and using an air pad between a floating member within the sealing device and the shaft. And it's that's a real exciting new technology that's been developed in the last 2 or 3 years that we're having great success with.
All right. So in that app, can we use that air sealing technology for those slurry systems, or is that not the right system to use that for?
No, it's absolutely where it's used and where it really shines. In places where they've tried to run split mechanical seals and had, you know, so-so service life out of them, you know, just kind of had marginal service life. This technology is a non-contacting technology, and it far exceeds the mechanical limitations of split mechanical seals or any mechanical seals in those type applications. Because all of those applications, as far as agitators and repulpers and refiners, all of them have a lot of mechanical, axial, and radial movement, which mechanical seals do not like. You're limited by the springs, what the springs will allow you to do, and radial clearances within the seals. And this air seal technology will take up to like a quarter inch radial movement. It's really been a very exciting new technology that the pulp and paper industry has been exposed to, and it's been very successful. And the service lives are incredible with these products.
So when you say the service life is incredible, we go from a 24 month in an average facility to 48 to 60 if we maintain them correctly.
Very easily.
What are we getting with these air seals then?
Air seal technology is so new. The only thing I can tell you now is right now we've got some products some seals in the field in service now that are coming up on 48 month service life and never been touched. I don't know how, we really don't know how long they're going to run now. They may exceed the service life of mechanical seals. They may exceed 60 months. We just really, at this point in time, it's such a new technology that we really don't know, but we've had zero replacements.
All right. Excellent. So while they're still new, we're still learning. The data that we see from the field so far indicates that they are going to exceed or at least meet those mechanical seals, but have a lot more forgiveness in them.
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Now, what do you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with sealing and pulp and paper? Is it a multi-prong approach? Is it just picking the right seals to begin with? What is it?
First of all, you got to pick the right products. We have certain, as far as braided products, we have certain products that are our go-to standards and packing arrangements that are our go-to standard for the pulp and paper industry. And we know really without any experimentation what those standard items are. We're one of the leaders in providing packing for, you know, critical K-mir services. Those are very high profile, very costly replacements that it can cost up to $3 million if you lose a set of packing in those applications. So we know what's tried, tested, and proved. As far as mechanical sealing technology, everybody has pretty much settled on the same seals and the same configurations for, you know, certain liquor applications, certain condensate applications. The industry pretty much, the fluid sealing industry has a total standard on those seals. And in most cases, what they run is a lot of double seals with hard faces on the inboard side to compensate for periodic losses of flush water lubrication on those seals. And that's pretty much where they're at with, as far as a standard. Kind of what sets us apart is our experience with the braided products. We have an extensive background, an extensive line of braided products that can take care of all these critical applications within the pulp and paper industry. But we also have, you know, the mechanical seal technology to service, you know, any of these accounts.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Now, you had a magic wand. What is the one thing you would change in that typical pulp and paper mill to get them back up to that 48, 60 months of service life?
Well, one of the things that really, to really be successful, all things being equal, whether you use our products or anybody else's products, is that you've got to manage the use of these products and make sure that you're working with a vendor that helps you select the proper product for the application. Make sure that you have a vendor that can troubleshoot when you have issues. And, you know, in some places you have process upsets and things that go on that you have no control over. In some of those applications, for instance, if you had a mechanical seal in those applications and you're replacing a rotating assembly every 12 months and it costs you $30,000, in some of those applications, you have to have a vendor that will sit down and have that discussion with you. Instead of worrying about selling you a $5,000 seal, we'll be able to accept that it's in your best interest that you use a $300 set of packing and do this. And it's all about partnering with somebody that will help you make a good selection. But the other thing is you've got, as far as the plant sites have to be committed to maintain these products. These products are such a small part of the total rebuild cost of a piece of capital equipment, but they actually are the first signs of problems within that equipment because it's the weakest link. And you've got to be committed to find those weak links, the pipe strain, the misalignments, the poor bases. You've got to find those things that are causing the symptoms to show up first and be committed to correct those symptoms or take some other corrective measure to find some other product that will give you more reliability. And another thing is training. Everybody needs to, within the plant, needs to understand what these products are, how they function, how they perform. They, you know, it's not just a maintenance issue. It's a production issue too, because you got to have to understand production people. We're taught how to maintain these products by a guy that taught that guy by a guy that taught that guy. A lot of it's tribal knowledge. It's not something that somebody that was versed in these products would sit down with production people and say, okay, this is why you do this way. Because it's one thing to install the products. When maintenance finishes those jobs, they turn those pieces of equipment over to production to operate. And it's just as important that that operations understands the products and understands what to do with the products.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, design it, install it, operate, maintain it properly, right? You got to do all those different things and find those weak links, like you said. It's not just maybe in the install phase or maintenance phase. It's all those different phases. We got to find those weak links and systematically eliminate those things. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from sealing and pulp and paper today? What's the one thing you want them to go do differently, think about, start asking questions about, that sort of thing?
First of all, if I take my supplier's hat off and stepped in your facility, what I would want to know is I would want to look at the consumption of these products, because the consumption of these products will tell you everything you need to know about how much these products are costing you. You know, go run storeroom reports on usage, get total population counts of, you know, mechanical seals or packing within the plant, and look at some of these ratios and some of these numbers to figure out if you're really where you want to be within your plant, or are these products causing you increased operational cost. You've got to figure out where you're at. And, you know, fluid sealing products, for some reason, are kind of, they, customers have somewhat of an emotional attachment to these products. And put them, and you know, a lot of people made the decision to use the vendor or use the supplier or use the product you're using. But you got to sit back and take an objective view of it. Am I getting the most bang for my buck? Am I using the most cost-effective solution? And is my supplier helping me to achieve those goals? It's just real important that you review it and set goals where you want your facility to be to manage this program. It's the unfortunate thing, this is one of those products that's just kind of, it's a small spend on the maintenance budget. And, but it can cost you millions of dollars if it's misapplied or mismanaged. It's just that that little spend is just a symptom of a bigger problem.
All right. Excellent. So investigate, look at your spend, look what's getting burned up, what you're replacing often, and start tackling those. I like it. Now, Chuck, where can people find out more about you, SEPCO? What events or activities are you guys going to be at? All those great things.
You can, of course, you can check our website, you know, at SEPCO.com. There's links on there where you can, you know, get in touch with me, or that you can email me directly at ChuckT@SEPCOUSA.com. I'll be glad to have these discussions. And we have a staff of regional managers out there, area managers that are well-versed in these products that can take care of you. And we have some excellent distribution that really understand these applications, can service these accounts, and provide for any needs and requirements you have, from a particular application to a total plant conversion, or just to get some insight on where you're at and where you'd like to be. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, excellent. And what are your go-to resources for sealing, whether it's in pulp and paper or other? Is there a book out there? Is it SEPCO's website? Where are the go-to resources to learn more about this stuff?
You can go to our website, and there's a place on that website where that you can get to a compression packing application guide, selection guide, and there's all sorts of links and resources on our website. We have an extensive website with a vast amount of knowledge, a vast amount of information on it, and we're adding to it every day. We have a link on our website for Seal Connect, where you can actually converse with some of the staff here and help you with your needs.
All right. Excellent. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about sealing, particularly in pulp and paper, and some of those challenges. Definitely learned a lot. I did not realize that the typical or average service life in that industry is about 40 or 24 months, where we should be getting around 48 to 60 months. So definitely some great insights there. Definitely appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.